and the components of the Douglas fir. So the Douglas fir is a type of evergreen tree in the conifer family, Pinaceae. Wow. Yeah, I don't really know how to pronounce my words. I think it's Pinaceae. Conifer refers to, conifer? I think I'm going to go conifer. Correct me if I'm wrong, but conifer means that it's a type of tree that contains needle-like leaves and as well pine cones. So Douglas firs can be commonly identified by the very light green needles at the very ends, but the whole tree is pretty dense and dark green with dark green needles. And I have found it difficult in the past to differentiate the Douglas fir versus the Western hemlock. So the Douglas fir, with this one little simple trick, I can now identify the tree, is that you have to look at the pine cones of the tree. So the Douglas fir pine cones, the guide showed us that they're pretty decent size. They're medium sized, but there's a folk tale that comes with it. So in the pine cone itself, there's these little kind of twigs sticking out. It looks like tiny little twigs sticking out of it, of every little covet of the pine cone. And so it said that rats, and that they got chased into the pine cone. And so their little tails are sticking out of the pine cone as they hide in there. So this is a very, very simple way to identify the Douglas fir. And most useful thing I've learned from the foraging workshop. So this is very easy to spot now, because you can compare it to the Western hemlock, which looks very, very similar to the Douglas fir, as it is still an evergreen tree in the conifer family, Pinaceae. And it also has the light green needles at the ends of it. But the difference is that the Western hemlock pine cones are pretty tiny, and it doesn't have those little rat tails sticking out. It's just a clean pine cone. So maybe that will help you for your next identification, but I found that very interesting. And as well, I wanted to add a little fact that I learned not from this workshop, but previously in introductory biology classes, is that both of these trees are coniferous trees. So I mentioned that they're both conifers, meaning that they have needle-like leaves and pine cones involved. And coniferous trees, I believe it's the same, it's synonymous, coniferous and conifers. But coniferous trees are a specific type of tree that compete in the forest with another type of tree or group of trees called deciduous trees. And so deciduous trees are the more, commonly perceived trees, as that they have leaves that fall off and turn colors, and as well they are typically shorter. So this includes the big leaf maple tree, the red alder tree, and the birch tree. So coniferous trees and deciduous trees usually compete for the same resources in a shared environment. So these trees both fight for sunlight, space, water, and etc. And it's very interesting to see, because I remember after taking my biology classes, I went out to my local park and I took notice of the trees that were growing. And around my park that I normally go to, there's a trail at the bottom, let's say south part of the park, and then the north part of the park is the top. So the north part of the park is filled with deciduous trees. These are all the big leaf maples, and they're typically shorter. These guys grow really fast, and since they have so many leaves and big surface area, such as the big leaf maple, because in the name it says big leaf, it's able to photosynthesize and create a lot of energy. So this allows them to grow pretty quickly. And so these guys grow the best in very nutrient-rich areas, and as well ones with good weather. So up on the northern side of the park that I go to, all the trees are deciduous, and there's very little coniferous trees growing around. So that indicates to me that that is a very nutrient-rich area. So they were able to kind of win out that territory from the other type of tree. And then if you go into the northern part of the park, this is where all the coniferous trees have taken over, and all I can see are western hemlocks and Douglas fir trees. And so Douglas firs and western hemlocks are coniferous trees, and coniferous trees work and, well, they compete best with very nutrient, or in a location with that has a lack of nutrients. They are very, very good at thriving in areas that have harsh weather, low nutrients conditions, like I said, and they can conserve water from the waxy needles, which is one way of helping them. So the northern, I guess, no, the southern part of the park that I go to is all filled with these trees, and I see no deciduous trees at all, because once the coniferous trees start growing up, they grow very slowly and they're pretty tall trees, but this growing and slow growth, eventually if they get to a certain height, since they grow so tall, they take over the sunlight that the deciduous trees have to grow from. So this essentially kills out the deciduous trees. So didn't even know that the plants were competing with each other. This is called, in biology, it's called interspecific competition. And so this is when species compete for the shared environment. So usually I thought this was for animals, but seems like everyone's competing these days, and I guess in history, not just these days. But anyways, that was the little competition tidbit I had. And then the last tree I wanted to mention was seeing the western red cedar. So this is the provincial tree of BC, as stated from 1988. So you can see that it has the very drooping branches. The guide mentioned that it looks kind of like a J shape where all the branches go down and all the leaves go down. And the bark itself, it has a very reddish tint to it. So that's why it's called the red cedar. And in BC, it is used for a lot of things. You've most likely heard of the red cedar. And this is things like roof shingles, fences, sheds, gazebos, furniture. And this is because it is very, very durable. And as well, the cedar is resistant to insects and decay. So there you go. That was my favorite points from the workshop. We also got into a lot of berries as well, so such as the Himalayan blackberries, which I also learned are invasive and not native to British Columbia or North America. And so those guys get sprayed a lot, so be careful of eating Himalayan blackberries because they may be sprayed. We also got into things like the salmon berries, which the bears love and are filled with vitamin C, huckleberries, which kind of look like, I describe them as dipping dots because they're tiny little dots and they kind of burst in your mouth in a way. These ones are very popular and one of my favorites. And I believe, yeah, those were the three that we covered. I didn't mention them on here because I already know a little bit about them, and I wanted to give some more nuanced information about things that you may not have known. But yeah, that is the story of my and my mother's foraging workshop journey. So maybe you are convinced and you would like to go forage for some berries. Do as you please. Just be careful of eating plants and identifying things that you may not know. So try to read from a book or use an app. So we were introduced to the app iNaturalist, which I had before, but it's very, very cool because you can just pull up the camera on the iNaturalist app and then point it to the plant and it will identify it for you. And it's not even just plants. It is for animals, insects, birds as well. I haven't tried most of these things, but very, very useful resource. And that is the end of my talk today. So I am going to switch back to the music now. Trying to see what I have coming. I'm going to bypass some of my songs here and put this one on because I have been listening to this on repeat once again, as I've been doing with other songs. So this one is labeled as a hip hop album, but it seems to use sampling of kind of random sounds. So it uses conversations, some rap bits, and one of them had sneezing. There was sneezing in it, but I really liked this whole album, and I particularly liked this song. So this is by the artist Ant, and the song is called Coloring, Shading, and Endings. So, enjoy.
Consider key elements of programming.
Programming in what respect now?
Well, you've talked about coloring and dynamics.
Shading. And dynamics is very important.
And then we move to program itself, the musical compositions, one right after the other. What are some of the key elements there?
Some musicians you have, they're segue freaks, and I'm one of them. I'm a segue freak.
On se comprend pas, feeling mutual. J'ai pas le temps d'attendre de voir. S'il te plaît, répète, j'ai pas tant de mémoire. Wait a minute, faut que j'analyse. À la fête, là, c'est nous à l'affiche. Je mets une invitation pour le conseiller, car ses indemnités m'ont sauvé la vie. J'arrive rond, donc je déclare en brute. Le site lag, ça me rend timbré. Shout out à toi si tu rejoins la lutte. Les années passent, l'histoire n'a pas changé. Jamais suivi les protocoles. Jamais fuck avec ceux qui les suivent non plus. C'est eux contre nous, suis follow, tu rétrogrades. Sous les mêmes astres, on vit différentes vues.
Pourtant, tu cherches encore. Je me lève quand le ciel s'endort. Répète, je n'ai pas tant de mémoire.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
He said, I'll give it to you for free. Happiness is a guarantee.
Tell me, tell you,
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. The song is still going. That last song you just heard was called Ephemeria by Great Grandpa, from their album Patience Moonbeam. I love this album name. I think if I had a band and I needed an album name, I would definitely choose Patience Moonbeam. The one right before that you heard also as well was called Emergency featuring Kaba, by the artist Beatrice Melissa. That one, very good as well. Some Francophone electronic, more of a soft electronic, more down-tempo than the usual electronic I play. And I just wanted to come on here and give my final regards because we are nearing the top of the hour and my time is almost up. But I thank you so much for listening on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday day. Absolutely gorgeous sunshine outside. So hopefully you are outside or have been outside today. I wanted to introduce the next show coming up, which is called Sociologic, and that is with my dear friend Rebecca. So stay tuned for that. I may even join on for the first couple minutes, so you might hear my voice. And then the show right after that is Bitcoover with our music coordinator Connor. Definitely stick around for that too. Very, very intriguing shows to listen to. So I'm gonna end it off with couple last songs. I have some time left, so this next one is called Orbital Alcatraz, by the band Yocto. So some art rock, but enjoy.
daffodils. You didn't plan to tell me how you feel. You laugh about it like it's no big deal. Crush the fire underneath your heel. I'm surprised that you're the one who said it first. If you had waited a few years, I would have burst. Everything comes up to the surface in the end. Even the things we'd rather leave unspoken.
Yeah.